Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Lindsay, you gave up drink for a year. Why in the first place? Good morning.
Morning, PJ. Well, I suppose it was kind of a multifaceted decision on my part. It was mainly a personal decision because, you know, in honesty, I have all of the willpower of a toddler being told they can't binge watch a marathon of Peppa Pig episodes, in that I have none. So there's no one more surprised than me that I was able to commit to it, I suppose. And given the current climate that we're in and the pressures that people are under and working from home and homeschooling, etc. But also mainly I wanted to counteract a narrative that I was seeing emerge on social platforms in regards to our attitudes to alcohol. And I think Dr. Crosby touched on it in saying about accessibility. And for me, the accessibility is not just in how we purchase it, but how we're consuming content surrounding how alcohol is marketed towards us. And I suppose in my case, especially towards women, mothers, etc.
Did you find your own drinking was problematic before you gave up, or were you concerned about your own drinking?
Being honest, I wouldn't say I was. I had any problems in my attitudes towards alcohol. But what I did notice was a change in pattern as to how I was consuming alcohol. So, you know, like at the weekends, you would always say, oh, you know, I'll have the wine as a treat, or I had a bad day. And I think that association is very common, and especially for women. You know, you're looking forward after the homeschooling, etc. But I suppose because I was at home and for longer periods of time, you know, maybe around the afternoon, I was saying, oh, look, there's a glass left there. I'll have that. Whereas previously that wouldn't have happened. So it was more about, I wouldn't say my levels increased, but my patterns definitely changed and I didn't like.
Was wine o'clock an earlier time than it should be?
Absolutely. Hand up and I would say it. You know, I would be counting down for my husband to be, you know, coming home. And I suppose my situation, I'm very privileged in that I was not impacted to, you know, the level of someone who was reduced to maybe a one or zero income household during the pandemic, or who had stresses of, you know, ill health, be it physical or mental. I had none of that. Yet I found myself, you know, come 3 o'clock, I was like, oh God, yeah, you know, that'll be nice. Well, the maths are a little bit too much there now today. And it just, and this was a narrative that I was seeing echoed and still am seeing on social platforms.
Was there an attitude of kind of, look, it's 3 o'clock, it's a nice afternoon, there's an old cold glass of Sauvignon Blanc at the bottom of the fridge, I'm not going anywhere, everything is closed, I'm not going to be driving, era shag it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, not only, I suppose, were you, it was because you were at home, but we weren't leaving to do anything. So like all the activities that we normally would have had, you know, that would warrant, you know, matches and training or all of that was just put to the, you know, the side, and it was stalled. So you essentially were looking at the four walls. And I suppose the point that I made when I made the decision to, you know, commit to not consuming alcohol for the year was that I'm looking at four walls, but my four walls can look very different to someone else's four walls. And I did not want to perpetuate this, you know, narrative of, you know, the mummy wine and, you know, the alone time when the kids are, you know, that's my treat at the end of the day. I just did not want to use that.
What's so wrong with it though, Lindsay? At the end of a tough day trying to raise a couple of kids who are locked up and bored out of their minds and trying to homeschool, and if it's only a glass or two in the evening sunshine out the back, where's the harm?
No, and I thoroughly agree with that. And I mean, I wouldn't put myself in a soapbox of being a paragon of virtue by any means. But I think it does come back for me to the accessibility.
Right.
So I suppose what I was seeing was alcohol being used as relatively props online. And if I'm normalizing it that, okay, I might be okay with having a glass at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I'll only have the one glass. But if I'm saying to people who, you know, if I have a large platform of followers, oh, I'm having this, or I'm, you know, I'm creating an ad around this product to, you know, lure you in to say, look, it's okay to have this, but that one glass might end with me, but you might go on to have one or two more glasses. And it might become a norm because you're seeing me say that it's okay to do so. And I think that's where the responsibility lies. I mean, we see it seasonally. You know, at the minute now, you will see a lot of campaigns on socials gearing towards, and it's really, it's targeting female friendships. Whereas years ago, I suppose in selling, you know, alcohol products or products of that nature, it was more the sexualization of women used as a tool to sell it. Whereas now it's done a complete U-turn in that it's capitalizing on female friendships. You know, can't wait to have the girls in the garden. I love this setup and here's this new drink that I think you should try. So it's still preying, but it's of a different nature. And I think there needs to be more responsibility about the promotion of that, you know, of what we are consuming and the accessibility of same.
Yeah. You feel, do you, Lindsay, that alcohol is now being deliberately marketed at women is it a sinister thing, do you think?
I mean, I wouldn't generalize and say it's blanket. I mean, I don't think anyone could say that it's being primarily marketed at women. But I mean, we've seen the increase. I mean, the stats of social media, and I would love to see actually a correlation between that and I suppose the findings of Dr. Crosby and with the consumption of alcohol in relation to women. If you look, let's say, at, let's take Instagram as a platform, the figures are that 57% of the users are women. So there is a higher percentage of men consuming, or women consuming content than men. And what you have is, because Facebook and Instagram obviously are both of the same ilk, you have a greater opportunity for cross-selling. So you can promote something on to massive audiences and have zero accountability for same. And I mean, you could use this model against anything like the wellness industry of, you know, fraudulent products there. This isn't a new narrative, but I think you will see, and you'll see the feminization of drinks. I mean, PJ, you've probably seen it yourself in the supermarket and there's a new pink gin launched.
Yeah.
Or here's this floral gin in a, you know, you see that feminization of the products to make it more acceptable, you know, and that it's, oh, it's just to get the girls around and have that. And
yeah.
I think it's really condescending to women. I mean, I love a pint of Murphy. Do you know what I mean? So, but it's just creating that social acceptability and that it's fine to do this because, you know.
Actually, Andrew's just commented, saying that in his own observation, and this is purely a personal observation of his, that there's a difference between the male and female drinking, that women would see it as more a bonding thing or even maybe even an image thing, whereas men just see it as a pressure release.
Yeah, I suppose I can use my own husband as an example. And I decided to make the choice to, you know, give up for the, and basically how it started, then I became pure mule about it. So I was like, if I'm in it, I'm in it and I'll do it. But, you know, my husband really enjoys a beer at the end. And I see, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I suppose it's to change the narrative around that. I mean, we intrinsically as a country, our culture and our history is so linked, you know, with alcohol and our consumption of it. So, you know, it's not to make, you know, someone feel guilty about that one glass of wine that they're having and they, you know, they have in the garden at the end of the day. It's to evolve the narrative to say, you know, there are other options that you can have if you choose to. And it's more responsible attitude to it and how we promote it and how we consume it. Mm. And I think any discussion around this is positive, you know, and discussing regardless, you know, even in relation to the MUP, which I think is, you know, the hot topic of the whole
situation. Yeah, do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's such a layered topic. In theory, I 100%, I think anything that will go towards some measure of counteracting the negative impact of our consumption is a good thing. If you want my personal opinion, I think I would like to see more detailed plans surrounding services like addiction counselling and mental health put in place. Because if you, it's simple cause and effect, if you remove something, something else will take its place. And, you know, I can sit here and say it's not going to impact me. But what about the household that is one income or has, you know, addiction within their household? They're still going to find some way to consume it.
Yeah.
So I think we need to be proactive in our support of implementing that measure and to the people it will affect. Because it's all very well and good for me to say in my privileged position that it won't. But that's a very naive outlook then to not assess the you know, the fallout from it.
Will you ever take a drink again, do you think?
Oh, absolutely, I'd say.
love the enthusiasm in that reply.
Yeah, no, my brothers and his fiancé, like many people, they postponed their wedding until next year. And I'm really looking forward to, I've committed to the year. I've another few months left, yes. I am looking forward to that point, that good point of Murphy's. But whether or not my attitude will change then, I don't know. But definitely it has made me more mindful around the whole topic, which, you know, maybe that comes with age, PJ, who is to know. But, I will look forward to it. So whether or not then I might take another break from it, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. I have a friend who rarely, if ever, drinks at home.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's a fella that would go quite enthusiastically for the few pints with me at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I was talking to him, he says, you know what? He said, I'll be on my hands and knees after three pints.
That's what I'm thinking. I think I'm going to need, I'll probably have one and then I'll be looking for, like, chips and garlic mayo or something to offset the fallout, or you know, some newer fed. I you know, it's more that side of it, but no, I definitely, and I totally agree with Dr. Crosby's sentiment around education. I think it really does, you know, it begins at home, and I suppose I was raised with, you know, a responsible attitude to it. It wasn't treated as some illicit substance.
Yeah.
And my parents, I remember saying to myself and my brother that if we ever wanted to try alcohol, that could they come to us and we could try it at home. And I think, you know, for 80s parents, that was fairly, you know, forward thinking. And so it never was a big deal. And being honest, during college, look, I mean, I love to beat the clock in Nancy Spain's as much as the next person. But
remember it only too well.
Yeah, oh my God, they were, you know, they were some days. But, you know, it never felt like, you know, something illicit that I wasn't allowed to do or couldn't have because, I suppose, of the attitude that I had been raised with. You know, and I think if there were more frank and honest discussions like you're doing today surrounding it, I do think it would go as well as some measure to, you know, raising a responsible attitude towards it. And I mean, you can have your night and do whatever, but, you know, in the long term, that you're conscious of the effects and your actions and what it will mean for you.
What I found particularly troublesome about the discussion with Dr. Crosby and the article she wrote in The Examiner was that particularly the number of younger women that she is now seeing with hospital admission. Now, when you were admitted to hospital as a result of drink, you have a serious problem. Yeah. And the number of younger women that she's seeing.
And I mean, obviously, I'm quite clearly not a medical professional, but I would say that a lot of the damage has mainly been done without their knowledge, you know, and that by the time they are admitted, I mean, we heard that case study that Dr. Crosby presented of our patient. And I mean, that is just frightening. How many more women are suffering the effects, but maybe put it down to something else, like, oh, I'm just really run down, or I'm tired, or I'm this, or I'm that. And, you know, because if you are self-medicating with something, you are numbing yourself to any awareness of any possible symptoms you may have or an issue. So, you know, that is quite troubling. And, you know, I would hope that by more professionals like Dr. Crosby engaging and educating and speaking about it, that, you know, it wouldn't be a taboo subject. You know, I don't think there's any, I think we carry a lot of shame as a country as well surrounding the, you know, the topic of alcohol. And I think the time for that is gone. You know, I think if anything, we should be speaking more and more about it. You know, and hopefully that people will feel more comfortable about, you know, addressing any issues that they have, and they have support.
Do you have kids, Lindsay?
I do. I have two, yeah.
What age are they?
One is almost 12, and then the other one is 10, going on 40.
Okay, so your 12-year-old, when they get to the age when they may want to try drinking, like, I would hope, my daughter is 23 and loves a drink, and when she started to take a drink first, you know, I never discouraged her. I said, have a drink. Well, have a drink with me.
Yeah,
you know, let's go on this journey of discovery together, kind of thing, rather than hiding it. Is that the healthy attitude, do you think?
I really do, because I think it is, and not to reduce it to this, but I do think it is a case of monkey see, monkey do. And I think if you can have that attitude early on in relation to any topic with your kids, you know, because there will come a point where their be all and end all is their friends. You know, for the bulk of their early life, it is their family, but there will come that point where they will seek counsel and guidance and all their advice from their peers. That's natural. We all did it. You know, you didn't want to go home. You wanted to be out with friends. So if you can create that mindset, well, look, you know, if you do want to, you know, discuss something or, you know, try like a drink, if you can come to me and, you know, like you did with your daughter, and just it's taking that illicitness away from it, that it's either that it's something wrong or it's so great that all the adults keep it from you because we want to have it all from us. You know what I mean? So, like, my husband has this brilliant thing, and, you know, he'd be a man of few words, but it's this note that he gave both of our kids, and it basically says on it that if there was ever anything that was troubling them or they wanted to discuss with us, that just bring that note, and that no questions asked, we will sit down and we'll have the conversation. And I would hope that that would always be, I mean, our kids will hide stuff from us, but I would hope that if anything of that nature or something even more serious, that they would feel comfortable in coming. And I think that's creating an open dialogue. Yeah. And I think you did, you know, your daughter has, you know, that relationship with you that she can say, oh, well, I was able to sit down with my dad and it wasn't a big deal. And we had the drink, you know, we had a couple of drinks and we had a chat. And I think that's really a really nice, healthy relationship.
In recent months, there have been nights there was one night in particular recently when herself and myself started playing wee bowling at 4 a.m. Much to her mother's disgust.
I know, there's always the mammy in the background, isn't there? I'm the one who's always yelling as well. I'm the one who's always screaming, get down, and all this stuff.
Go to Benji too, for God's sake.
Yeah, I Lindsay, think that will go on to the end of time. So.
Listen, great chatting with you, Lindsay. We covered
thanks,
so much.
Peter.
Thank you very
so much.
Thank
Take
you
care.
Very much.
Bye.
That's Lindsay Woods.
Cork's 96 FM.